Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. From now on, it is going to be England first. England first. Excuse me, I just wondered how it would feel to say such a thing. We're going to build a great, big, beautiful wall. Well, two actually, one between England and Scotland, another one between England and Wales. Just need someone to start now with the chant. Build that wall, build that wall. It feels good. It would have been even better if there had been some adulation from the floor. Still, don't suppose you had time to bring a banner this morning. It is not just Donald Trump, Viktor Orban in Hungary, Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey, Conte in Italy, in Argentina, in Venezuela too, elsewhere. Nigel Farage, I don't just say it, I say it as I see it. I behave as I do. If people don't like it, they can take a running jump. So it spreads. Populism, movements, parties, leaders who say it like it is. They refuse to pussyfoot around, if you like their point of view. See the other point of view, if you don't. But some argue that all of this is a distraction. It keeps the newspapers busy. It winds everybody up. There are more and more clicks on the news websites. Meanwhile, the real power brokers, the real power players at the international level, the multinational company directors, the merchant bankers, at the criminal level, the money launderers and drug dealers and fraudsters, at the national level, the overpaid heads of the utilities and franchises and charities and banks and schools and businesses, they are all busily divvying up the world, their world, to suit themselves. Having a party. In the 1980s in New York, they partied hard. When Donald Trump first appeared on the scene, incidentally, with his glitzy, trashy, imitation gold-covered tower. When the motto was, perhaps you saw the film Wall Street, with the character Gordon Gekko, the amoral international trader, the motto was, greed is good. At the same time, Harry Enfield was sending it up all over here with his loads of money sketch. They are partying still, a little less ostentatiously perhaps. Still they are partying in New York, London, Beijing, Moscow, Dubai, all over the place. Their hairstyles and the clothes have changed. The bling is a bit less showy. But the buildings are taller. The super yachts are longer. The cars are shinier. There is drink and food and excess and the sacred things of the world, beauty, truth, human life itself, are everywhere being abused and misused and undermined. 'Twas ever thus. Before you start wondering if I've run off to join Momentum. It has always been like this. You'll remember perhaps the Profumo affair. The Nazis parted hard in Germany in the 1930s while the country boomed. Someone I know visited Germany in the 1930s as a schoolboy and had an album stuffed full of photographs of all the new motorways and the grand buildings and the wonderful parades and the smiling, happy people. While behind the scenes, the Jews and the homosexuals and the gypsies and who knows who else were being rounded up. They parted hard in France before the revolution. You remember Marie Antoinette, what is it they say she said in response to the cry, "The poor have no bread, let them eat cake." No evidence she ever said any such thing, the poor, much misaligned woman. Still, it has come to symbolize the huge gap between the pampered, profligate aristocracy and the increasingly desperate populace. In the Holy Roman Empire in medieval Europe, as the princes and the prelates of the church mixed the political power of the state and the spiritual power of the church, the cathedrals got bigger, the rituals grew more elaborate and gorgeous, and ordinary people lost touch with the faith of the Galilean in whose world it had first emerged. All over the world, I imagine. Judging by the pictures I've seen of the gorgeous temples in India and South America and Southeast Asia, down all the centuries, they have parted hard in the face of the world's problems, grown rich on the backs of the world's poor, wielded power over the heads of the world's powerless. And everywhere, as W.B. Yeats put it, the ceremony of innocence has been drowned, and the sacred things of the world have been misused and abused and undermined. Daniel. King Belshazzar gave a grand banquet for 1,000 of his lords. He gave orders for wine to be drunk from the sacred vessels from the temple in Jerusalem. And as they parted hard, idolatry. They praised their gods of gold and silver, of bronze and iron, of wood and stone. No doubt it was all a bit glitzy and trashy. A picture, see, maybe a picture from below. Maybe, as with Marie Antoinette, the picture is more a symbol than anything else. Maybe the whole story is symbolic of the ancient tragic truth, from Babylon to medieval Europe to today's excesses, the truth of the gap between the powerful and the powerless, the phenomenally rich and the abjectly poor. A symbol of the way in which the sacred things, sacred vessels in the story, the beautiful, truthful human things that everyone regards as sacred today, are being misused and abused and undermined. This is the context, see? always the stories of faith. We've heard so many of the stories. Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Daniel. Always those stories have to be read and encountered afresh in our world, amongst the mix of things that we are aware of today. And in the story, in the middle of the party, judgment. Writing on the wall. That's a powerful idea still, isn't it? Graffiti. Graffiti artists. Banksy's images, I'm sure you've seen. Simon and Garfunkel, anyone remember The Sound of Silence? The words of the prophet are written on the subway walls and tenement halls. Just a sense that this divided world, a world of excesses, of wealth and poverty, of crushing injustice, a world needs to be judged. Meanie. Meanie, Tatel, Farsim. Daniel, the representative of all the faithfulness, the truthfulness, the sacred things of Israel among the nations, among the exiles in Babylon, the one true God against all the idols of gold and silver and all the rest. Daniel knows what the words mean and calls out the judgment. Meanie, God has numbered the days of your kingdom. Tatel, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Farsin, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Judgment, see. Here in the story of Daniel, the judgment of God is held out as a judgment for the world. Don't you think our world needs to hear it? God has numbered the days of your kingdoms. You Europeans, you Brits, you Americans, you Russians. You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. You who have tortured, who have closed your borders, who have mistreated your citizens. Your kingdoms have been divided and given. Your power has been divided and given. To the revolutionaries? Remember the lesson of Animal Farm? When the revolutionaries take power, they become like the very people they took it from. To the populace, see what happens when the fears and prejudices of the populace get turned into the policies of the state in America, in Hungary, in Turkey, elsewhere. Your power has been divided and given. You remember Christ standing before Pilate, the powerless standing before the powerful, the sacred standing before the sacrilegious. This is the judgment, my friends, the judgment of God against the world, against us. When he stands there, weakness judges power, humility judges arrogance, peacefulness judges warmongering and destruction. You know how it ends. It doesn't end well. It ends on a cross. And when Jesus goes to the cross, God judges the world. He weighs it in the balance. He finds it wanting. He divides its power, its kingdoms. It is the writing on the wall. The one true judgment of the one true God against you, against me, against our every selfish instinct, against our idolatry. It is the judgment of love, my friends. The judgment is here. King Belshazzar held a great banquet for 1,000 lords. This banquet is open to everyone, to all. At King Belshazzar's feast, the sacred things were misused and abused. Here, the ordinary things of earth, the very substance of human life in bread and wine, are made sacred and holy. Here, a world of power and greed and injustice is reversed by a power of love strong enough to bring Jesus back from the dead. A power shown forth in weakness. So try to imagine as you come to this table. We're going to party hard. Singers are going to lead us as we sing